Hello and welcome to Throwdown. Let me get it started. I am your host, Emilio Lopez, and I am joined by let's get it real. Carlos Romero.
Yo, what's going on? I sound a little different.
Yeah, you do sound a little bit different. Mr. Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
Brian Manjoma.
I guess I'm getting my cartoon from.
And the returning one, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
RBJ.
RBJ.
Good evening, everybody.
So yeah, we are back. Yes, you know who's missing. Mr. Polanco, he's out, you know, he's out in the field hanging out near volcanoes. I'm hoping y'all see the lovely photos that he's been posting on Twitter as of late. Yeah, and he's you know, he's doing his thing out there. So we're holding it down. Oh, and running by Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up?
So does that mean you're like the secret wrestler comes in and does the run and starts beating up on everybody? It's Stone Cold. It's Stone. Yeah. The glass shatters. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you know, nothing, you know, can't say it was a big week, but there's also, like, you know, obviously you guys are in the world and you realize there is a crazy amount of games, and yeah, a lot of fun stuff happened, some fun reveals, but we're just going to start off a little slow today, not a little on the lower side. So this thing has been making the rounds pretty recently. So I called this section Last Dance with Mary Jane. So, Polygon recently put out an article about you know, the stealthy Mary Jane sequences. A lot of people, you know, including myself, really just the, like, why are these in here? Why do we need to be sneaking around with Mary Jane? So in this article, you know, they literally go through and like, hey, yeah, we don't think this is any good. We should just drop it. It's like we're in a Spider-Man game. Why does there need to be these sequences? And I'm like, and if I'm, you know, at least from what I've seen of those sequences, like, Mary Jane is like a badass now. She's got like a little like tranquilizer gun and she's like CQCing people.
Yeah, it's a stun gun and she can dodge.
I mean, you have these like, Kraven's army is supposed to be like badasses, right?
He
hand picks them. And yet, and Spider-Man has a hard time fighting them. When you play as Spider-Man, you really have a hard time to pull all sorts of moves, and you have to counter and block and all that stuff. She loses them if she hides behind a box, and they don't see her for 5 seconds. You know, it's like they become retarded
in her mission. What is it? Yeah, she essentially becomes a Mary other word. it's a weird one. Do these sequences even help the plot or anything, or is it just like we want to get Mary Jane there alone with everybody else? I guess
there's a purpose to it, but it doesn't really be Mary Jane that, you know, leads to this purpose. I mean, it actually, that scene, the funny thing about it is the scene where Mary Jane is involved, the aftermath of her mission is some of the most important stuff in the story. So it's good in that way, but it doesn't, you don't really need to play as Mary Jane. And that's my issue, because it's just a slow change of pace. So, you know, the way the game is, it gets a little bit annoying, really, because I didn't like the Mary Jane. This is way better than the previous game, but it's still not good.
I mean, she.
And, you know, to add to that, it's like, when would I ever, in a Spider-Man game, want to take a break from being Spider-Man? Like, seriously, exactly. Who thought this was like, hey, you know what? Let's give the players a break and slow it down. Like, no, I don't want to do that ever. If I'm playing a superhero, I just want to be that guy. I want to be Batman. I don't need to be like, I'm going to be Alfred and make some tea.
No, yeah, yeah, exactly. That was the issue again I had with the original one, where it's like you take a break, you know, to play Mary Jane, and then you have to play the Miles stuff, which also is also kind of stupid too. I was like, do we need to play Miles? I mean, I guess, you know, yeah, we know he's going to be eventually be a Spider-Man, but why do we need to do these, like, person stealth sequences? You're like, ooh, ah, I gotta get through it.
Yeah, who is the fucking designer who, we need to stop doing something awesome every once in a while to slow down the pace to, like, bore the shit out of your eyes? Like, I understand peaks
hey, Brett,
and valleys, right? Like,
sorry to interrupt, Brett, but our voices are low on the stream, Manny.
All right, I'll fix it. Talk for a little bit. Let me bring you up.
Yo, we're talking, and guys in the chat, please let us know if you can hear me. Yeah, good now.
How's everything now? We low?
We're waiting for chat. See, this is an interactive podcast.
Interaction. What do we? What
fan
do we
outreach.
Ah, it's getting better. Okay.
You said it's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does Manny sound good to you guys, or is it just us? He said.
Bit better, huh? Hmm.
They're saying to go louder.
All right, going louder.
And try doing more for both your mic and our mics, Manny.
All right.
Oh, no, they say Manny loud and clear. Okay.
All right. Right. Boop, blah, 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 blah. Okay, sounds good, right? Now, Brett, problem. Return to your rant.
Return to my – okay, like, I was saying, like, I understand peaks and valleys, right? Like, I understand the idea – especially in like literature or other forms of entertainment where you kind of need to bring up the excitement and then be like, okay, we're going to bring it down for a minute, right? Like, but this is just a great example of one of these stupid fucking rules that have just evolved in video games for no goddamn reason, right? And I think like a lot of these rules, at least with like games like Elden Ring, were proven to honestly be unnecessary. Like, why do you need to curate how your audience interacts with your thing? Like, it just shows a fundamental non-understanding between the developers and their fucking audience, because I can't honestly think of, like, even academically, what is the point of taking you out, like I think it was like, which one of you guys said, I want to not play Spider-Man in my Spider-Man game? Like, what is the point of taking people out of the action completely? Why can't you just kind of, like, slow it down? Or let them approach missions in a stealth way if they want. Don't hand fist this bullshit, because it's always two of the most frustrating bullshit stealth missions with only one resolution, right? Like, there's only one way to sneak through the goddamn warehouse as Mary Jane, right? Which also makes no fucking sense. So everybody's dumb, except for if you take this one route. And if you don't take this one route, then they see you with eyes in the back of their fucking head. It just, all of it is bad. Everything about it is bad. The parts that it's made out of, the thing that it makes up when they're put all together, nobody likes it. Why do you keep bringing it?
Yeah, it's a really weird one.
Can I?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Rich.
I would like to answer that question. I personally think they did that just so that they can give Mary Jane some type of role in this game. Make her feel like she's a part of the experience. I do agree it's unnecessary. But I will also make this comment, and I'm not going to say any spoilers, but I will say this. I question the person that wrote this article for Polygon, because if they completed the game, I think it's pretty clear that the next Spider-Man game, there will not be any Mary Jane missions in it. That's all I'm going to say. At least it was clear to me based on the direction that they're going with the storytelling. So I agree it's unnecessary for this game, but to me, it didn't really feel like it was that long compared to everything else you're doing in the game. You spend most of your time as Miles and Peter, so this doesn't take up a huge part of the game. But that's just my opinion, but I agree it wasn't necessary for the game, 100%.
Interesting.
Yeah, and also this is my anger at all of these. Quick, take a break from doing awesome badass stuff to play as this ancillary character in a unnecessary self mission. Like, it's a thing. It's not just I have rage built up not just for Spider-Man, but for every goddamn game that has done this for like the last 20 years. Right? Like, I guess it's better than an escort mission, but just do a fucking cinematic, man. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're making story from a character that's not me, show it in cinematic. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't care. I don't need to play another character. I'm this character. That's fine. Unless I'm playing like five characters, in which case just throw me all over the goddamn place. But
is this like the mandatory walking sequence? Or you have to walk with
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's just one of those things that it's evolved like a game of telephone with itself, right? Like, nobody said that you needed to have a walking monologue. There's no rule that you need to have a walking monologue. A walking monologue isn't even the best answer to the problems it tries to address or for the things that it tries to do, right? Like, it is not the best way to move the story along. It is not the best way to add backstory to your thing. Like, it is, it's just ham-fisted and clumsy and stupid. Nobody likes it, but it's evolved to be like this necessary thing. And talentless facts who somehow find themselves in creative positions do nothing but regurgitate the same bullshit that was taught to them by some other guy who had no idea what the fuck he was doing.
I don't think it's a lack of talent. I think one of it is just like there's really not been so an effective way to essentially express. You know, like, obviously, normal gamer being gamer, you're going to go, like, during, you know, you're going to jet right ahead of it, and you're totally going to miss out on all the conversation that they want you to hear, right? So it's like their solution is always sort of put, you know, take, you know, give you only slight control and put you on, like, you know, controlled rails so that you could get through this specific conversation or this specific thing so that it just happens, as opposed to trying to like try to find an alternate way to sort of dynamically have that conversation or that information expressed. So it's like playing without playing. It's always that one moment, like in the Gears of War, you know, Marcus Fenix will all of a sudden decides to start holding his hand on his head. It's like, oh, here we go. We're in exposition mode. The only difference is you're pressing up while you're doing it. You know.
Yeah, not to stand too much for fucking Elden Ring, but I think Elden Ring kind of showed a lot of these kind of problems. Like, these are the developer not just holding your hand, but putting you on a leash and saying, this thing was very expensive, and I spent a long time doing this thing, and by God, you're going to fucking sit there and experience every goddamn minute of this thing that I made, because I can't have you just passing it up, even if that's honestly what you want to do. Like, even if you just want to optionally, like, I just want to skip through these, just go to the cutscene, I'll figure out what's going on. Like, you can't even, yep. They're not optional. Like, that's the part that kills me. They're going to make you do every part of the game, even the parts that you don't like, because, God damn it, they spent time and money on it. And that is not the right approach to an entertainment product.
I mean, you know what's funny, Brett? Spider-Man 2 does have a feature where you can skip things that you, that are kind of pointless to the story, like the puzzles. You can skip the puzzles. So I just wish they had that same feature for this.
Skip the walking sequence.
Those walking sequences are annoying just in general, but especially for Spider-Man.
Especially if you have the momentum of the game. So
yeah, man, this because. Like you mentioned, Manny, it's like you're swinging around, like going 100 miles per hour and stuff, and it's like it's thrilling. There's a rush, and then now you just have to walk through high school, gymnasium or something.
Yeah,
dude, it's like introductions in a movie. Like a kid comes downstairs, right, and he's like, ah, hi, mom, can I have some cereal? And she's like, you're late for school, and no son of mine is going to be late for school. And you just want to sit there screaming at the screen like, I get it. She's your mom. Move the fuck on. It's just poor lazy writing. And I got to assume that the same thing bleeds. Like, I've seen so much poor writing. And I'm sure if Tony were here, he'd be popping off too. But, like, especially when you sit down and you start to learn, and you learn some of the nuts and bolts of this shit, and you just kind of realize a lot of it is just the same lazy rehashed bullshit over and over and over again. And I hate to break the window so that it ruins things for everybody, but like, look at the beginning of the movie of how the characters interact with each other. There are so many lines in there that are just strictly unnecessary. Right? They don't even need to be there. They're just there to blatantly tell you, the viewer, how their relationship is. Right? Where if you look at a movie like Back to the Future, that thing is regarded as the perfect script because all of the lines in there, they do multiple things. They move the plot along as well as establish the character. It is possible. It's hard to do, but it's possible. And so that's kind of like, yet you see the same bullshit drivel in every fucking movie because everybody just wants to be copying somebody else. Like, everything needs to be fucking derivative of the last thing.
Oh, somebody got an Amber Alert.
Over here, man. That's why shit's getting hot. But like, I can't believe, like, that shit not the same in the video game. Like, you're telling me the video game, not you, Manny, but like, you're just telling me the video game industry is somehow immune from the same derivative bullshit cycle that all other entertainment media seem to be mired in. Like, I find that hard to believe.
I think in general, like, a lot of times when it comes to certain things, it just takes somebody to be like, hey, you know, why are we doing all of this? But I don't also think that, to be honest, it's not always the AAA space that's going to do that. If it's working for the world of, you know, AAA Spider-Man game, they're not going to go and, you know, go against the grain of, you know, what has been established. It's not really that sort of thing. I mean, you know,
yeah. So especially not in Spider-Man. Spider-Man doesn't reinvent the wheel. The best fucking
game. Yeah, it's the most polished frigging wheel that you've got. Like, you know, it spins, it rolls, you know, it does everything it needs to do, but it's the shiniest way to do it. But, you know, some would say it's not that shiny, especially with all the glitches that have been happening with it as of late. But I feel like those glitches are like old news glitches, to be honest. I remember seeing those things in the original Spider-Man PS4, where, you know, your character would randomly turn into a different object or something like that. Yeah, it's one of those things. But anyway,
I mean, we just live in a weird, bizarro world, but I'm hearing more bugs and glitches from Spider-Man than I am for Starfield. I know that can't be possibly accurate, but like, perception is reality.
I mean, that's part of the nature of the open world world, right? There's all kinds of things that you can't really, you know, you can't really predict that's going to happen. So, I mean, like, I guess it's a blessing in disguise, right? That I don't have a PlayStation 5 as of yet. So by the time by the time I actually get the console, they'll probably get Spider-Man and the Metal Gear Solid collection in order. But that's going to be a little something we talk about later. So moving on.
Hold on. I just need to answer Brett's question real quick as to why is this Mary Jane mission in there? And we all know the reason why it's in there. We just don't want to say it, do we? And to answer Chris's question, like, how can she do this? Chris, did you not know that Mary Jane also has superpowers?
She got an injection of spider DNA.
No. She has, like, one of the most powerful superpowers of all time. She's a woman.
I thought she had the other superpower, plot armor. But yeah, anyway, not a lot of things happened this week, but this is a somewhat of our feature topic. Xbox had a thing called the partner premiere pretty recently. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and they did a lot of, you know, fun little reveals on there. So the first thing that they actually did was they started it off with like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is kind of, it looks like it released, you know, from, I didn't actually see that part of it. I got in a little bit late, but from what it looks like, it's sort of like it's a sequel to, you know, Ishin, but it's, you know, it's going to be like, you know, it looks like you're on a crazy island with all kinds of weird like characters and stuff like that. It's interesting, if anything. Yeah, like, there's a lot of kind of kooky stuff going on. I don't know, like, it almost feels like the beach volleyball game, but, you know, I could just be saying that because it takes place on a beach, but there's all kinds of goofy characters, like, hanging around on there, and, you know, are you guys, like, excited for a new Like a Dragon game? With that other character, I can't remember his name. Ryu Goku Gato, or whatever his name is.
I'll go ahead, Rich.
Well, I know Adam is very excited because he enjoyed Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, this is the sequel he was waiting on. So yeah, he's probably excited for sure.
Yeah, I never got a chance to play the first Like a Dragon game, so I can't say that I'm excited about this, but Isn't this going to be on Game Pass? So a lot of people might have a chance to play this.
The new one just came out on Game Pass, or the last one. So I don't, with all the games that are coming out, it feels like these things are coming out a little too quickly. I'm not sure if anybody else feels that way, but I haven't had a chance to play Like a Dragon.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, in general, I think the Yakuza games, they have it like in a specific, like they have that thing down pat, and none of these games are that much of a leap in you know, a leap from the previous one. You know, like they seem to get one out pretty damn regularly. So it doesn't, like, well, when did a Like a Dragon come out? That other one, Ishin, come out, or whatever it was called.
How was it, like 2019, 2018?
Yeah,
has it really been that long?
Yeah,
I thought it was like 2020.
Well, you know, maybe I'm a year off, but it's around that time, because I know Yakuza 0 came out 2017, so it had to be after that. So 2018, 19, or 20, one of those, or one of those years.
Yeah, like so.
I recall this is what this.
Go ahead.
Oh no! Yeah, I was just gonna say. Yeah, I recall this is one of the games that they announced that was coming out on Game Pass, and this was like in 2020, so it was right around the. Remember, it was a time thing on Xbox. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a weird timed thing because they didn't expect it. It wasn't done on purpose. But yeah, no, this one came out. Mm-hmm. This
Yakuza, so it makes sense why Adam liked it.
Yakuza Like a Dragon did come out on January 2020. So it was early in the year, but then they had Ishin, the samurai game, that came out like after. So that's why it seems like these games are coming so fast. It seems like they do a new game, and then they do an old game, and then they do a new game. But this year is interesting, or these coming years is pretty interesting, because they not only have this Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth coming out, but then they also have the other, game with the Kiryu.
The mainline Yakuza games, but they're rebranded as Like a Dragon. Yeah, so instead of thinking that Like a Dragon was rebranded into a different spin-off, it's actually just the title for all Yakuza games.
Yeah, it's funny. Like the thing about it is, like, they did it pretty slick, but like, they called the game, like the last one from 2020, called that Yakuza Like a Dragon. In Japan, it was called Like a Dragon Yakuza, right? And then they just called them all, you know, Like a Dragon after, because now everybody knows, right? Because they recognize that last name.
It was a clever swap. It was a nice way to do it.
It's kind of like Resident Evil, guessing, and Biohazard.
I'll go, Rich.
I was going to say that other game you mentioned, that's actually coming out next month, like in like 2 weeks. Uh-oh. The other Like a Dragon.
Yeah,
yeah.
I played a demo
with
that
with the actual main character.
Yeah, I played a demo of that at PAX this year. You know, fun fact, that game's got, apparently, the YouTuber is playing Kiryu in that one. He's playing
Kiryu.
He's playing the American voice. I'm sure if we ever, asked him to come on the show like last time, he probably wouldn't come, because he's a superstar now, right? But we got that fool when he was nobody. No, he was pretty well known. Anyway,
I find it interesting that they're changing the branding of the game and the franchise. It's like, I wonder if someone, a huge dude with a bunch of tattoos, just came into their offices, or like, you are not gonna name this game Yakuza.
I just found out. Sorry, completely sidetracked. Like, I just found out that since I have all these tattoos, I can never go into a Japanese hot spring.
Yeah, you can't go. You can't go into an onsen because because tattoos are considered something that Yakuzas wear. You know, it's unfortunate. It's even a small one, they'll be like, no, we don't want that.
Well, either that, or maybe the fact that you're a foreigner might be a reason.
There's also, they have a situation, they have a thing over there where it's like, there's no foreigners, right? They'll actually say no foreigners inside of there. And then also that, you know, no tattoos if you're going to onsen. But I think there are some onsen that do have that, but, you know, where the people are not as old-fashioned about it, but yeah.
Where do the Yakuza go for a warm soak?
I mean, to be honest, they're probably going
to the ones they own.
Yeah, probably the ones they own.
Yeah, okay. Just gotta find me one of those.
So the next one up is this thing called Still Wakes the Deep, which seems like it's a new game that they're. I don't think I've ever remember this one being mentioned before. But it, interesting thing about this one is that it is done by, I forgot who the company is. Oh, maybe it's not this one that did it, but
it's the Chinese Room.
Yes, the Chinese Room. The Chinese Room did another pretty well known game. I can't remember what they did though.
Amnesia?
Ah, yes, Amnesia. So yeah, they did Amnesia, so they're doing more spooky games. Now it looks like you're on an oil rig.
Spooky.
So you guys
get... From my understanding, Rich said this is his favorite game of the year.
Is it, Rich? You're like,
I think Carlos might have been drinking a lot of something if he came to that conclusion. I never said that. No. And to be quite honest, I was a little underwhelmed with this Xbox partner thing, but we'll see if that changes.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, it's sort of a mixed, it's a bit of a mixed bag. So yeah, it's this one. I mean, it doesn't look like we'll see what it does. But it looks like, to be honest, it looks like it reminds me. You remember the Dreamcast game Blue Stinger? Kind of getting that vibe.
No.
Sort of a horror. Yeah. It's like a horror game that takes place on an oil rig.
Oh,
we'll see. The next one up is, you know, I noticed that there's a theme this year. Now the names of these games are all like sentences. So the next one, it's coming up later, but this one is called Minor Lords.
Yo, man, it's like, you see, I noticed that all these titles are sentences. Like, it sounds like the emo era of rock.
Yeah,
you know, all those bands used to have titles are like a sentence.
Yep. So yeah, this one looks like it's a sort of
to govern a land of,
like you're kind of governing a land or something like that. Maybe like what is it, like the Total War series? It sort of looks like that, like medieval sort of combat sort of deal. It's interesting.
I mean,
We haven't seen one of these games in a bit. I mean, with this exception of Sega's Total War titles, you know.
Well, we see. Okay, so like this is kind of my genre. So
yeah, you're building.
I'll jump in here a little bit.
It looks like
building simulation kind of thing. This is kind of a hybrid game, right? Like this, a lot of games have kind of really gone into the settlement building or the war, but they really haven't gone into small-scale warfare between settlements. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where this thing is landing. It's not a brand new kind of reinvention, but it's kind of a hybrid thing. And it honestly looks pretty cool. I've seen several games kind of try and launch this idea, and none of them really were able to nail it. So a lot of vaporware games in there. But it'll be really interesting to see how this thing... plays, you know, because it's so up to is the combat good, is the building mechanics good. Like it's cool to see some of this stuff happen. You get brief flashes of the interface, but like I don't know, I don't know if it's going to be a developing moment to moment kind of thing. And then like, can you build up your settlement and then attack your friend's settlements? Because that'd be kind of cool.
Then I
could see it really blowing up, especially within like social circles. In like schools and whatnot, like shit. If they had this shit when I was like 16, I would have been. Me and all my friends would have definitely had settlements. We'd be raiding this shit out of each other on the daily.
Yeah. You can force your religion onto the hordes of savages in the forests.
I mean,
just like real life, right? But then, what's interesting about this one is it's purely a PC Game Pass sort of deal. So it's not, I don't think, from what it looks like, it doesn't look like this one is going to be, let's see, exclusive interview with another game. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it says anything about it actually being on Xbox.
Oh, it says it's coming soon to consoles.
Hmm,
yeah. At the very, very last part of the trailer that you probably close the window before it comes up.
So yeah, there you go, confirmed. Y'all in the chat totally want to play this game, don't you?
They're dying to play this.
Play this game. Kind of a thing. Okay, so this is what I was talking about, where the names of these some of these titles sound like sentences. Can you make it to the finals? That's the name of this game.
Oh God.
And this one is actually made by a studio that you wouldn't expect to be making this game. No, excuse me. Not the finals. This is actually called the finals, but because can you make it to the finals? Anyway, I don't know. It's a beta. It's, you know, one of those sort of. I call it looter shooter the game. So everybody, you know, everybody blows up at the coins like Scott Pilgrim.
I gotta say, this is. I've watched this video like 3 times, and I could still not tell you what this game is about.
It does. Everything.
Hey, look, it's like Fortnite. It just seems to be. It seems to be. What is this? What is with this rash of Fortnite-esque heist games? It seems an oddly specific niche to be having all these games jumping out in, doesn't it?
I don't know. I mean, everybody's trying to hit that Fortnite. Money. Yeah, everybody's trying to hit that Fortnite world. So, just one. I guess.
This is the third heist-based themed game I've seen. I swear.
What's that, Rich?
I agree 100%. And my question for Brett is: maybe you can explain to me what the hell is up with this panda that they keep showing in this gameplay? Because I'm a little confused with this character. Is you dressing up in cosplay, shooting other characters, or because the panda thing threw me off?
I think it's basically
like, look how goofy and random we can be.
Yeah, it's like dressing up in different outfits and stuff. So I guess they like for some reason polygon panda is a thing.
Yeah, well, and there's a person with their face playback with the skull on it. Like, you can be 8 different flavors of sweaty tryhard with cosmetics that you can buy from whoever is making this game. They just, oh my God, this game is made out of things that irritate me. I'm sure there'll be people that fucking love it, but there are so many people coming for this weirdly specific heist-based, team-based, like, I get the team-based looter shooter, Fortnite kind of thing, and I realize I'm being unnecessarily reductive if anybody's taking an issue with that, but just roll with me here. I just don't understand why they're like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to take this and make it heist-themed. We're gonna just make it, like, cheesy Vegas, and not even, like, the, like, 70s good Vegas, like, cheesy 2010 Vegas. Just everything kind of fucking bright and cringy and fucking, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, it's just, what's up with the heist? Was there a bunch of heist movies, or did somebody just decide that it lended itself well to this gameplay?
What was that heist game? I forgot the name. I'm totally blanking on it. That's I think it's
Payday.
Payday, there we go. They maybe just have Payday 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just came out. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the Payday, maybe these guys are like, man, we wish there was a Payday game, but with more coin. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, next one up is Dungeons of Hinterberg. So I call this one Hipster the Game. It looks like it's a roguelike with a bunch of hipsters in it. I mean,
oh, God.
I think the styling is fascinating, you know, sort of like
technical director,
you know, nice sort of cel shading style. But yeah, it's like, hey, look, it's these dudes with these people with beards and, you know, and their sneakers in this little German town. But yeah. I mean, I can't say I was very interested in whatever this was. Yeah, no real thoughts on it. How about you guys? Yeah, meh. I definitely think you're like, yeah, whatever. What is this? It's garbage.
Now, this is a game that I thought Carlos said that he is interested in playing when it comes out next year. So
Carlos,
maybe he can tell us why he's interested.
Carlos. To quote a famous philosopher. Quote a famous philosopher by the name of Richard Bailey Jr. Oh, hell no. yeah, it just doesn't look like a game. This is the first time I'm watching it right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, not my type of game. Yeah, it's just not my type of game.
Yeah.
Spirit of the North 2, which was also announced in this show. Yeah, we saw that previously in another show, and that looked intriguing. Yeah, although I didn't know there was a second one. I don't know.
Same thing. Like, I was like, Spirit of the North. All right. I don't remember there ever being a Spirit of the North one. Are they?
Yeah.
It would be hilarious.
They just started it too.
It'd be hilarious if they just did that where they literally just called it two.
There was a game I'd seen recently, and I think it was an indie game where it was something of something 2-2 because it started with two. And this was the second iteration of it. It was kind of fucking brilliant, actually. I got to ask the question about Dungeons of Hinterberg. I'm not sure if anybody else had. Like, I get the dungeons and everything like that, and I get the kind of start of, like, what is the point of having a small town where you meet a bunch of people and develop social relations by interacting with them over time? Like, aren't video games things that you usually, like, can't just do? Is this like, it feels a little sad, man. Like, it feels a little like I'm making friends in video games because I don't have any in real life, kind of thing, you know? I don't know, man. I'm not just the people who like Stardew Valley, but
well, I mean, there's a, you know, I mean, the Persona games have a bit of that going on, but you know, where you sort of, you know, have your you know, the more time you spend with the character, there's a more of a dynamic element to it. But I mean, yeah, what is it with that game where, like, why does there need to be a social element? Like, make friends, go to the dungeon, possibly watch them die? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but then go to the bakery, walk around the street, check in with Max down at the corner. Like, and I get it. As somebody who doesn't have a lot of real life friends, I get it. But also, don't get it.
Go have, I would say, like, I would feel like that game would be more, would be a better idea if it was more of a multiplayer type of idea, where if that world, that little German town was all populated with legitimate people. But the thing is that, like, then again, that's like, how you can't guarantee that the, you know, people would want to interact with it, you know, or play it. So I guess that's the whole reason why. Just like, hey, make some buddies in the virtual world, and then go to fight a dungeon.
So yeah, but the way it does it, like, I'm okay with like Animal Crossing or Stardew Valley. Like, hey, there's some characters in here that are cool. I feel particularly fond of them. Like, you know, you spend 2 years making an Animal Crossing house, where you're drunkenly partying in it every Saturday night at a buddy's house, and eventually you come to really like the frog that's living next door. Right, like it's a thing that happens. I get it. You play in Dragon Age, you got a best bae, right? Best girl. Playing Baldur's Gate, you definitely have a best girl. Don't lie, you know you do. But this seems like on a different level. Like, it's not interacting. Like, it's not how they feel interacting with you on an adventure. It's like going down to the restaurant to talk to them while they're working. Which, just, I get that that's not what life is like, and maybe there's a deeper thing here where, like, you know, it harkens back to either when we were younger and or a world that's now gone or something like that. No matter what, that road is depressing as fuck, so I'm not going to go down it. Other than that, I don't get it. If anybody understands, like, please throw in the chat, like, educate my ass.
they'll just be like, whack, skip it. So yeah, now we're gonna get to the we're getting up there. In this thing. Okay, yeah, we saw Spirits of the North 2. Don't know. I mean, looks interesting. Looks kind of like Okami with a fox and a bird in it. We didn't know there was a number one. There's this other one called Ikaro, which is here. That one is kind of interesting. It's sort of like Ikaro Will Not Die, which is a game. Also, I think this is also made by a company that had done as well. That we might know of. The guys that did Power Wash and Velocity. Not Velocity. What the name is that thing? Yeah, is it Velocity? They did that game? Anyway,
apparently, for some reason, it gives me Hi-Fi Rush vibes.
Yeah, that's sort of like, you know, like, to be honest, it looks like a roguelike, though. Like, if they're saying this guy won't die, right? I wonder if that's what the deal is here. Or you're just sort of jumping all
over. That's a dead giveaway.
Yeah. So he's sort of jumping off the walls. I mean, the traversal looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it just looks like an indie game. I mean, I think it's kind of
it looks like an indie game.
I think it's kind of funny that, you know, in the release they said we'll have more to share about this unique indie game soon. And I'm like, this game looks like literally every other indie game I have seen. And like, I got beef. I got some beef here, right? Like, we got enough time. Like, I just got to say, like, we give so much shit to big developers for being afraid to try something new and doing the same. But I got to say, some of these fucking indie spaces are awfully goddamn sus, right? Like, there is some shady ass, we're just going to try and be this next, like, I don't know, let's do some indie shit with, like, a wolf or something. Like, bro, come on. You have to think harder than that. It's this. It just feels either like it is just like trying to copy the last thing that went in, or just being a sweaty tryhard, or relying on 100% nostalgia. I'm looking at you, vampire game. You know
Uh-oh.
Which one you are.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Cat knows what's up. So, like, yeah, I just, that was it. Just like, goddamn, like, you guys just keep, like, You look at this game and tell me that there's anything unique here or anything new.
I
understand it may be put together really well, but is this basically not Sonic?
3D Sonic?
Yeah. It may be better than Sonic. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game. It could be really fun. I love vaporwave shit. Right? Like, I love it. I love it. I love throwback 80s stuff with rose-tinted glasses. And that's cool. I also like, you know, like, kind of cyberpunk stuff. And you checked all the boxes for things that indie games should be. Fast-paced, you got lasers, you got a helmeted protagonist that doesn't have a face, you got roguelike elements, you've got some sort of social media dystopian tieback, which is this kind of like, nudge, nudge, nod, nod, social media in the world today, am I right? Like, you got all of it. You got all of it. Cool. What's new?
He runs.
I'm gonna watch the video here again. I'll tell you if I see anything.
He just runs off the walls. Anyway, we're gonna now we're gonna get into the meat and potatoes of this. We're now in the home stretch of this little feature that they did, and we got the RoboCop game. Now the RoboCop game has I remember, this was done by the guys who did that. Like, very decent Terminator game a while back, and I think this was announced quite a few years ago. So now finally this game is going to be coming out. What was the release date on this? Oh, this thing's coming out in November, so it looks interesting.
Yeah, November 2nd, which I believe is next week.
Yeah,
so very soon
you get to play yourself some RoboCop. And they apparently they got Peter Weller in there. It looks like they have the other officer. I can't remember. Chris, do you remember the name of the other what's her face? The lady in that?
Wait, Lewis in there?
Yeah, Lewis is in there. So this is
Did she die in the third
movie?
She
died in RoboCop 3, but this is probably around RoboCop 1 or RoboCop 2 era of RoboCop.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about Nuke in this one, so it's definitely somewhere maybe around RoboCop 2.
So does that mean you go into the arcade?
They do.
Duffy, have a seat.
they do have an arcade in there, so it's very definitely retro, you know, like retro future ish, you know, where there's, you know, analog stuff all over the place, and he shows his seat, his crazy seat that he has to recharge in. Looks like he's got a bunch of weapons and stuff like that. I don't know if that guy that they keep showing, that Jokery looking guy, is the main villain of this, but it looks interesting.
Why does this look good?
I don't know.
Is there environmental destruction in this? What the fuck?
It looks like it's got it. I mean, this could also just be for this boss, like the, you know, you fighting Ed 209, though.
Yeah, it could be, or it could just be like some of these pillars break away, you know, when you shoot at them, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all these cars are catching fire. Like, shit, man, this actually looks.
Yeah,
he's good.
He punches people, and they go flying into things, and they explode. Yeah,
and explode.
I mean, it looked like a bunch of crates. He punched a guy into, and the crate exploded when the guy rammed into it. So, yeah, I mean, these guys. I mean, here's the thing: these guys did a pretty decent job with that one Terminator game that came out not long ago. So, we'll see how this one is. So. Get to play.
When did they announce this?
Not long ago. Maybe
a while back.
Yeah,
like maybe they announced this 2020? Like last year sometime.
Yeah, 2020 or maybe before maybe that. Old. Yeah.
And it hasn't been talked about much.
Yeah.
It was announced it and went quiet.
And they
released, I mean, that's you can do it.
Right now there's a demo on Steam you can play.
Well, shit. I know I got too much other shit. God damn, man.
Yeah. It's what is it? Gamageddon? I guess it is here. It's back.
It's beautiful.
So I guess we're gonna go up to the next one here, and we have Alan Wake, which is literally coming out like tomorrow, right? It's coming out tomorrow. Is that what the deal is here? Because I know all the
officially. So yeah, I think about 30 minutes. It's almost midnight.
So y'all y'all who are probably getting to see it, you're gonna get to see it soon, right? So yeah, it's mm-hmm. I mean they showed on this feature, they actually showed some nice gameplay of it. Where he's sort of fighting this lady that's in she's fighting this lady that's like looks like a weird, like, I don't know what they call, what do they call them, the darkened or the taken or something. And this lady is, it's a weird sort of effect that's on her. She's like the top part of her, it looks like, you know, obviously like monster form, but you see like this reflection that she's got of herself but in the air. So it's like she's in this room with this invisible water that only shows her reflection in that, you know, when you just look at her. So it's looking pretty cool. Like, it looks like they definitely genuinely have some creepy stuff going on with it. Yeah, it does look, definitely looks like a really good looking game there. I mean, it's definitely up their game since the last Alan Wake, right? I mean,
anybody? It's gotten pretty good reviews.
I see that it's got some pretty good reviews. I mean, though I was gonna. Well, part of the reason why we're sort of talking about this is also because I was thinking that Rich would already have had it already, but he's probably gonna be in the process of playing it soon. So,
yeah. I do apologize. Did not get it sooner, but looking forward to it. I did see, as Carlos mentioned, positive reviews. The Metacritic score is actually 90%, which is the exact same score that Spider-Man 2 has right now. So,
So that means it's better.
It's better. So a couple of things. I saw a thing on Digital Foundry about this, and they nicely put this in this game. There's absolutely no ray tracing in this game. Like, you remember, uh-oh. Like, yeah, apparently even quality mode doesn't have ray tracing activated. It's all screen space stuff. So I'm like, that's interesting. Like, why did they drop it? I guess it was
light.
Huh?
Light was such a big factor in the first game.
Yeah.
Think it'd be obvious.
Yeah. All of this, it's all sort of pre-calculated stuff. It's no ray tracing. They have the PC version obviously runs everything like, you know, amazingly. You can get it all there because it's a PC. But yeah, it's a little weird that like they weren't able to get it to run, which when they literally had Control running with a bunch of ray tracing all over the place. But maybe their engine can't handle it. I don't know. I mean, it's not like you notice it that much. I mean, some of the baking that they did on that game looked really, really good. But you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on with that game. But you know. It looks good, and hopefully, if you guys are playing it, you're enjoying it. Getting sufficiently spooked at this time of the year, right? Next one up is the big one for all you Metal Gear fans. Yeah, Metal Gear Delta got some footage shown. It's not a lot, to be honest. It looks like a proof of concept. They even say in the video it's a pre-alpha footage. So, I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, it's running on Unreal Engine 5. So it's an engine and seeing all this sort of stuff going on. One thing I was saying, because I said this before when they showed screenshots of this of this game, a lot of things line up. Like if you look at the like some of the geometry and some of the areas in the levels, they all look like they line up one to one, which leads me to believe that they're probably using the original game's environments and re-arting them, you know, putting all kinds of, you know, trees and things inside of them. And The other thing that I noticed, and so this was while and I had no proof of this until this one guy on Twitter essentially, you know, because I thought, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they decided to reuse the animations from Metal Gear Solid 5 in this game. And that guy on Twitter literally put up a side-by-side comparison. So all the animations that Snake does, they're all reused from 5, which kind of makes sense. It's supposed to be the same guy. Giant quotes next to my head. But I would say out of all of the Metal Gear games, and I said this before, that out of any Metal Gear game that could have ever been remade, Metal Gear Solid 3 and possibly Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker would probably be the easiest, because Konami could literally take advantage of all of the assets that they had created for Metal Gear Solid 5, you know? Granted, it's a new engine, you know, but then again, I would say, like, if you have all of that stuff already pre-made, you could easily just, you know, you reuse all of that stuff. They already had a pachinko game that they already had high-resolution models for. They could literally reuse all of that. All they would need to redo is reauthor a lot of the, you know, the materials and then retopologize the character, you know, redo the, you know, the polygons on them and get them to go. So what are you guys thinking? It's looking nice. Looking shiny.
So it's safe to say that you're going to get it, Manny?
I mean, I am. I mean, I bought the collection.
Oh, you already bought it?
Yeah, I have two PlayStation 5 games that I can't play. I just collect them. They just sit there.
Yeah, you know, it looks intriguing. I'm going to have to wait because, you know, obviously with the whole onslaught of games that came out this year, it's just that's going to have to go to the wayside ahead of the behind a couple of other titles. Like we were talking about earlier with Brett, talking about all these games that we're playing. So, you know, want to try it out, you know, eventually. But yeah, it looks fairly decent. I haven't been keeping up with the more recent stuff that has been releasing with the detailed and stuff, but from what I've been seeing, I already forgot most of what happened in Metal Gear. I played most of the Metal Gear games. I don't remember what the hell happened to any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, again, like 3 is probably the best starting point for the franchise, but you know, if this thing does good, they probably have to do them in order now, right? Because you start out with Big Boss and then you work your way, you know, to Metal Gear Solid. I would say like Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 would probably be the bigger remakes because how much needs to be redone for those games. But, you know.
And we've only gotten remasters for those, right?
Yes, and we've only gotten remasters. And speaking of remasters, master of, you know, segues here. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection is apparently an epic fail. There are so many issues with them as of now. So number one, they don't actually. It says that they output at 1080p. Giant quotes in the air. It's literally not. It's literally 720 being upscaled for everything. This is not only just the Wii where they have it in handheld mode. So whatever upscale that they're doing doesn't obviously work on the, you know, on the, you know, the handheld mode of the Switch. So yeah, everything's still running at 720. Obviously the V-Sync on them is also kind of spotty. So in other words, you get a lot of slowdown and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of other little issues inside of there. You know, resolution choices, obviously, because it's, you know, it's an old game. But the way Konami sort of put it, they said they want to preserve the integrity of the way the original games were. But I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, especially when you think about something like Zone of the Enders, the second Runner Mars, which came out a few years ago on PlayStation 2. That game was in full 4K. So what happened to preserving the vision on that situation? I think in general, like this project was kind of a bare bones porting deal, where they probably didn't have enough budget to really go into the weeds and really do a spot on, like, you know, translation of these titles. I mean, obviously, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1, that's a, you know, an old game, but I mean, like, a lot of people bring up the fact that, you know, there's that, what is that emulator? What is it called? Duck Station, right? That's out right now. And apparently it runs that game. You can run that game at any resolution that you want. You know, it has scan lines. They don't even have scan lines for Metal Gear Solid 1. So it's like, it's very, and it's a little disappointing, especially when you look at the remastering efforts of a lot of their other classic titles. Like, I would say the Ninja Turtles one is possibly the best remastering, you know, like not remastering, but like, you know, like modern release of one of their old titles, as well as the Castlevania games and the Contra games. They all did very well. But I think the big difference with those games is that they're all two-dimensional games. And then this one's a 3D game, which is probably needs a lot more work than one of those things to get to work properly. So is it a situation that you should buy these games, buy this sort of kind of janky put out of this game, these games? I don't know. I mean, I own it, but I'm a dope. So
can I make a few quick comments on this?
Yeah, sure.
First and foremost, do you think it's fair to say that they took a stealthy approach to how they decided to do this collection? Because I thought they advertised certain things that it didn't turn out to be that way. So I do want to ask that. And I do want to say this. Obviously, in talking about the collection, and then you're talking about what we saw with Snake Eater, Delta, yeah. This is why I'm concerned about Delta, because even though it looked good, what we did see, mm-hmm. now I'm going to be wondering, what are they going to do to cut corners with that game? Because that trailer did come out like a day after these reviews came out for the collection. So I guess the first thing I thought of when I saw it.
I almost feel like, and this is total tinfoil hat situation. I feel mm-hmm. like they dropped that thing so that the narrative doesn't get, you know, so that thing, because of the reaction, doesn't overshadow what they're doing. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, to literally kind of quell all the craziness. So, like, yeah, right now, all the talk is about Metal Gear Solid Delta and not about all the things that are all wrong with every single edition of that Master Collection. Like, right now, there's that issue. There's the issue where all the bonus content is not, nobody can figure out how to download them. You know, there's also the other, what was it, there's also a bunch of other, like, funky issues with those games. And all of the things that people mentioned, like, as issues, they're like, oh yeah, these things will come at a later date. So it sounds like they're just sort of playing this thing by ear, like looking at what people say and like, oh hey, yeah, that is a good idea. Maybe we should do that. You know, to be honest, like, and I hate to say this, because it's like, it just makes Kojima look like he had his shit together, you know, with it when it came to at least doing these titles justice. During his watch was the, you know, the Blue Point versions, which, you know, obviously the pickier Metal Gear fans did notice some little, like, small, like, issues with that collection. But in general, what were those games? Those were legitimately working versions of those games. Probably the best versions of them since their original ones. At least because I feel like Blue Point had handled these things with a lot of care, you know? With minuscule things that were slightly missing and stuff like that. I would say out of all of those sorts of, you know, re-releases, they did a really good job. And it's disappointing that they're not out there still doing this sort of stuff, being as careful with these things as they've been known for doing. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thought the announcement of Delta and then the collection, or the collection then Delta, was is a weird sort of thing, because it's like, number one, how far are they with this one? And you're literally announcing a collection that already has the game that's going to be inside of this new fancier version that's coming in later. I don't know. So, but
come on, Konami, get your shit together.
Oh yeah, and the other weird thing about this one. So when you get the disc version of the game, it obviously doesn't have the most recent patched version of the game. That's number one. So it's got more issues if you decide to do it on disc like I did. So you have to download the patch. And then the other thing is that the game, Metal Gear HD Collection, what they used to do is what they did is they essentially had like a, you know, a launcher where you can go through every single one at one, like go through one menu and select all the titles. The difference with Delta, I mean not Delta, but the Master Collection is it has a bunch of five different the separate installs. So they split it out into a bunch of different versions. So like it's Metal Gear Solid 1, Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, all of the bonus content, and I guess something else, and the soundtrack. So five different little applications that appear on your screen. And I think the reason why they did that is so that they could, you know, on the PC version or, you know, the store versions, they could have, you could buy them piecemeal. Like, eh, you know, I don't like any of the other Metal Gear games, but I like this one. But it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, why not make a front end on that instead of having you install like five or four different applications for all these games? It's not like the Castlevania one, where the Castlevania one literally had, you know, they had a nice little menu and everything was all set up. Everything is all packed together at once. So you get all the little script notes and, you know, additional like things like that all within each title instead of being able to go to one menu and say, hey, Metal Gear 2 or, you know, stuff like that. So it's a very odd release. And it's another part of is the M2, the darling of ports, you know, from, you know, of like 2D ports, apparently did this version of the game. They did all the previous like, you know, collections that Konami did, which ended up working out really well. But for some reason, their magic didn't work out on this one. Yeah, so I mean, should you buy it? I don't know. I can't say if you really want to play these things on a modern console and you don't own a PlayStation, a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation 2 or an Xbox, Xbox One.
Manny, can you stop beating around the bush and tell me if I should buy this game right now or not?
Whoa.
Carlos, why are you hating? Why you got all this pepper in your step?
No, man. Either tell me I buy this game or not. And I ain't leaving until you tell me.
Yeah, you haven't told him whether or not he should buy the game. him specifically.
Well, read my 20-year review on STFU and Play, right?
Yeah, that's that still doesn't tell him whether he should buy the game.
Oh, okay,
you're dancing around. You're dancing around it. You're dodging the subject here, man.
if you're a Metal Gear fan and don't like these issues don't bug you, I would say a most definite. But you know. Oh, but you can't even play it, Carlos, because you're on because you got the Gamageddon backlog. So you're gonna be up for like another 2 years trying to complete these games that came out this year.
So allow me to be the devil's advocate to respond to Carlos and I will say no, Carlos, don't play it and don't buy it because you have way too many games that you need to finish. You know, still playing Spider-Man 2. You got Baldur's Gate 3. There are too many good games that are new for you to play. So, but I will answer the question and say, yeah, I am going to get this collection at some point. But that will not happen anytime soon. I need to wait. Like Manny said, I will wait until they fix all the issues and then I will play it. So maybe sometime next year.
Yeah, maybe they'll release another Delta trailer to kind of like, you know, to tide you over so you're not angrily yelling at them. I feel like Delta was like break glass when needed. It was like, oh my god, the MGS fans of psh! All right, there you go. This is pre-alpha footage. Yeah. You know what? We're at the end of our little things here. I guess I'm gonna go in and ask the question that everyone asks, or that Tony asks when our episodes don't go up to a certain length, is what have y'all been playing? Because I haven't been playing shit because I don't got a PlayStation 5.
I can go next.
Yeah, Carl.
I've been playing Spider-Man 2. You know, at least for the last couple of days before, you know, I had to migrate to the Northeast. So yeah, Spider-Man 2. Oh, man, I was enjoying it so much. You know, just swinging around, going around, fighting all these bosses and these hunters and stuff. It was fun, man. You know, the whole the new wingsuit feature, great. With the little tunnels where there's little wind gusts and stuff, genius. There's a lot of this game that's way improved from the previous installment. Yeah, I didn't get to beat it though. We'll see how long it's going to take me to beat it because, you know, I did try, or I talked to the fellas yesterday about, you know, I was testing out remote play remotely, not from my own local network, but from, you know, from a different place. It didn't work well on when I was using my iPad via screen sharing on Apple TV. But when it's on just on the iPad, it's pretty decent. The only thing is the screen is really small, and I have to what do you call it when you focus too much? Your eyes are focusing too much.
Yeah,
I have to like focus so much because the screen's a little smaller, and all the details in the cities, especially you're swinging around at 80 miles or 100 miles per hour through a city. It's like on a little iPad screen sometimes it's a little tough, but we'll see. We'll see if I can manage.
How big is your iPad? Like, is it like the mini, or is it the larger one?
It's not the mini, but it's not the Pro. It's like the in between, like 9 inches or something like that.
I think I have one that's about that size.
That's the pretty center side.
So, Logic Wins, I saw it November 10th. What was that for? I saw that on the chat.
Oh, there. What happens?
What's November 10th? Remember
the 10th Logic? Of November?
Is that your birthday? Chris, what you been playing? I know you've been pretty busy, and I know you were sick pretty recently too.
Yeah, I have been playing some Spider-Man 2.
You?
And I have some complaints.
Uh-oh, some complaints.
Yeah, not even like the mission types, because they're, you know, we talked about the Mary Jane stuff, but there's a lot of bugs in the game. Like,
oh yeah,
I've had I told you guys about the white cube, like Spider-Man turning into a white cube, and I had to restart the whole game to get the models to show up. I've had places where I couldn't walk anymore, like the controls wouldn't respond, and I couldn't interact with like a cutscene would play, and then I couldn't move. I've had things I had to interact with, Miles Morales has to visit his father's grave. Well, I tried to interact with the grave, and it didn't work. I had to restart the whole thing and go back to the graveyard to get it to work. Like, just weird things, like, just halt the game, and I can't progress, and I have to restart it. So it's just bizarre. Like, I was thinking it was like, oh, maybe something happens, like there's a memory leak or something, and like after you play a few hours, it starts having problems. Oh, some of this happened when I just started the game, so I'm a little disappointed. You know,
interesting.
And I even talk about the flag gate or anything. the numerous bugs in there is a little bit of a problem. I know there was a day one patch, but this is with the day one patch. It still has all these like weird issues.
Apparently, the day one patch might have ruined the game because most of the reviewers didn't have a lot of the issues that we're having.
Yeah, the day one patch definitely caused a lot of those issues. And by the way, since you mentioned a flag gate, that actually is the real reason why Carlos has not finished the game, because he was enjoying the game up until that point when he saw that flag. Oh no, man, I got to turn this shit off immediately.
I said to myself, I know two Puerto Ricans personally, and I took offense.
But I mean, in fairness, that's a dumb fucking mistake to make.
It was.
As a Puerto Rican, I don't
Google exists, Brett. 5 seconds. No, even worse. Any one of them could have picked up their iPhones, because I'm 99% sure that they have iPhones, and said, "Hey Siri, show me a photo of the Puerto Rican flag." And
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, It's so low effort. For something that's so polished.
Or according to Chris, it's not that polished.
Like, I gotta ask the question. How do y'all break a game that you already released?
I don't know.
This is old Spider-Man doing new stuff. Like that, y'all didn't reinvent the wheel here. You already released this game mechanically speaking. Bradley is running on the same engine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same engine.
Yeah. It's like you've released two games that follow the same engine, and you release a third one, and you break it. Like, how? How do you even do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. They just introduced a whole lot of problems, and that's the only thing. Like, I'm enjoying the game when it works, but like last show, like I said, that I did the mission with the pigeons. And I was going really fast. I was going through one of those wind tunnels because you have to go all the way to Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Went through a wind tunnel. I missed one and I slammed into a building and went right through the map. Like, just done. And I had to start the whole thing over again, go talk to the guy and get the pigeons. I was like, oh, shit. So it's just weird stuff like that that keeps happening. I'm like, what? how did you do this?
Now, y'all know I'm okay with bugs, but I want to talk to some of y'all that were talking big shit on Starfield and its bugs, because you guys know who you are, and you know you lean PlayStation, so let's talk.
I mean, the thing about it is that, like, we would need a baseline, right? Like, are the Spider-Man glitches as bad as a Bethesda game? I don't know if they're that bad.
Oh no, I'm just calling out the people that were calling Starfield, saying like, oh, it's gonna be a buggy piece of shit, and then it had a smooth launch, and then the game you stand in comes out having a whole lot of problems. What do you gotta say now?
He's like, and what? So, what was it? Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, That's all I've been playing.
You've been glitching away at Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, the little bit I've been playing. That's why it's so noticeable, right? I don't get to sit and play like I used to, like for hours and hours. You know, I get a little bit of time to play. So when it's like, hey, I can't interact with this thing. Hey, I can't move. Hey, I went through the map. Like, it's just, and I got to start over and do the whole mission again. You know, it's annoying.
I guess the Insomniac Imagine isn't forever. Put out something a little something broken. I hope that they're not like killing themselves to do this stuff. You know, I mean, granted, you don't hear anything. You know, granted, nobody's probably going to be talking, but you know, you don't hear anybody saying like,
"Where's, oh, man, where's Jason Schreier?"
Yeah, where? Yeah, let's call up JS Jay Schreier. Let's call him up. See if he can get some dirt on Insomniac.
I'll say this, I hope that while they're working on Wolverine and you pay attention to everything that's going around and being said, do not take me away from playing as Wolverine. When he says, hey, Bub, I do not want to play as Bub sneaking around somewhere. I want to be Wolverine, all right?
No. It's going to be some, you know, teenage genderqueer BIPOC sidekick that is, you know.
Oh.
Here's a throwdown prediction. There will be X-23 missions.
Oh, uh-oh. Brian. No, I know you're right. Now I'm getting mad.
Doesn't she have a name? She's not called like X-23 anymore. She's got like a name. Like now.
She's X-23.
They just call her Wolverine?
She's not Wolverine anymore either. She actually has her own specific like animal name now. Like Badger or something crazy. I could be wrong, but I know she's got her own name now. Yeah, she's not Wolverine anymore. But anyway, yeah, they might.
Honey Badger would be fucking amazing.
You know, it'd be funny, like if they decided, you know, with that Wolverine game, if it is just a remake of the Raven Software Wolverine game that came out years ago for X-Men Origins
Wolverine.
Yeah, it's just a remake of X-Men Origins Wolverine, just with, you know.
Oh, that game was awesome. if you gave me a remake of that, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I was supposed to say, I think that would go really well. I think that's really what people would be hoping for, but not daring to actually hope for. Like, I really just want a modern version of that really awesome game they did.
You know, I was looking. It's funny. I was actually looking into buying it from. I still have my PlayStation 3 hooked up, and I was looking to see if I could buy it. It's not that expensive right now. You know, it's a little under its original price, but yeah. So, Brett, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Starfield. And I'm not really sure. Like, when do you stop playing a game like this? Like, it would. You're at a buffet, like, when do you stop eating? I've got a bunch of other games to play. I'm considering going back to Baldur's Gate, because, like, Starfield is a kind of one of those, like, at least for me, Bethesda games are damn near forever games. You know, I don't want to rush through just the main story, do the 30 hours, and be like, I'm done! Like, that's not how they work for me. So, there's just so much there that unless I just want to spend all game again playing Starfield, when do you step off it? And if I jump into Baldur's Gate, like, fuck, man, there are so many other games I need to play. But I don't know that I want to go and... I think...
Here's the thing. Like, I think the thing about it is that you... To be honest, I've always been of the mind, don't worry about how long you're eating, man. You just eat until your belly's filled and then moved on to the next thing. Like... I know the FOMO sometimes can be like, oh my god, there's all these games. You know, just pick one or two and just like, all right, I'm going to be playing this. And, you know, when you're done, like you usually do, just move on to the next thing. That's at least I always saw it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I mean, the problem, quote, but not actually a problem, is Baldur's Gate and Starfield, they're both kind of RPGs, but they're the polar opposite of kinds of RPGs. Like one is you're solo, it's wide as an ocean, deep as a puddle. You don't really have a party to talk to other than a companion who just kind of follows you around. That doesn't mean shit. So for the most part, it's just kind of this weird, you know, solo experience. And you know, you run around and shoot people in the head. It's kind of an action-y game now. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, you have this game that is, you know, wide as a swimming pool, but deep as an ocean. You know, the land masses aren't that big. You know, great, like Baldur's Gate is big, but it's not Skyrim big, right? Like, so, but yeah, there's so much condensed stuff. And honestly, I like that a lot better. Like, just do one city and like have everything be something, right? I don't need a bunch of texture locked doors that I can't open and that have people in it that I'm never going to fucking meet or anything like that. Like, I live in an apartment, like, let me walk in and talk to my neighbors and all kinds of shit. Like, why not? Bring him, like, anyway. So I like the real condensed thing. So the problem is, and again, not really a problem, I'm kind of flip-flopping between them because as soon as I kind of get sick of one, the other starts sounding real good. So, like, you know, I was playing Baldur's Gate and I was like, you know, I'm going to play some Starfield because, A, it's not going to be as good. I'm less likely to be disappointed coming that direction. But I kind of also realized, like, after you play Baldur's Gate for a while, you feel kind of detached. You're like, I just want to hit something with a sword or shoot something. I want to play some kind of action-y.
So it's like you're, each of those games is not necessarily, they're kind of palate cleansers of each other, almost?
Yeah, exactly. Which kind of just leads to a cycle of, like, I played Baldur's Gate, and then I went over and I played some Starfield, now I'm like, I want to go back and play some Baldur's Gate again. And I know after I play Baldur's Gate, I'm like, I'm going to want to, like, shoot something. And I know this isn't really a compliment, but, like, Starfield's story being just kind of pretty easy to jump in and out of because there's not a lot you need to remember. There's, like, Starborn. End. Okay, cool. I can remember that. And I'm you kind of get to breaking points in Baldur's Gate. They're not self-contained, but there you can step off them a little bit and then kind of come back. Or I guess you could sit down but both of those are easily, if you try and dig the whole content out of them, I mean, you probably spend 200 hours, maybe more, in each of the games if you really want to. So, like, I could just be eating off both of these alone for the next year. And honestly, I might stay for a while because, you know, Spider-Man, that shit does not look like it's coming down it needs patched. And normally I would wait until a sale, but because my PlayStation is digital, Mike or and Sony never puts anything for fucking sale.
Mm, Yeah, eventually they do, but not their first parties. Their first parties usually it's a little bit of time between they come and.
Yeah.
You can't stick the disc on your, you know, just put it on the PlayStation and it'll run it. It just absorbs the information through the air. Kind of like one of those cell phone, like, you know, those cell phone pad things that sort of charge your phone without it actually being plugged in.
Yeah. but yeah, I got Baldur's Gate on my PlayStation as well. So now I can kind of jump back and forth between them. So
compare and contrast.
I gotta say one thing real quick though, like, why the fuck is it $10 more on PlayStation?
PlayStation tax?
I guess. I just bought this shit on PC. And it cost me $60. Then I go over to fucking PlayStation, and it's $70.
Oh yeah, you forget about that sort of thing. You know how the PC community, you know, the PC community is fine with their specific prices that are all lower than the actual, you know, than the console ones.
Yeah,
it's like, what do you?
Well, and this is a great time to kind of point out,
like what do you like? The question is like, what are you really paying for? You're not getting it on a disc. It's just an arbitrary number.
Well, the reason it's $70 on PlayStation Store is so that it doesn't devalue the rest of the items on PlayStation Store. Like, they're still sticking to those big box store prices where, like, oh, shelf space is important, and it all has to be the same space or same price on the shelf space, otherwise it looks cheap. Like, they're keeping that same fucking mentality in a digital storefront, which makes no fucking sense, except for the fact that it makes more money and fucks the customer, which I'm just
to be honest,
like I virtually guarantee you, and like I don't see Larian being like, hey, you know what we should do? We should charge $10 more for this on PlayStation. Nothing that they have done leads me to believe that they would pull a bitch move like that, which then only leaves fucking Sony. Sony had to be like, nah, you have to charge $10 more because all of our new games are $70. And they don't want them undermining that shit, which then pisses me the fuck off.
Isn't a fairly new game like 60? I think like Alan Wake or one of those games.
Yeah.
On PlayStation, really?
Yeah, I think I forgot what game it was, but I was like, oh shit, $60. I'm surprised.
Wow. Yeah. But what that means is I'll just have to wait for there to be a fucking sale, and I'll probably get Spider-Man then or. There's Remnant 2 DLC coming out, so that's a thing I gotta. If you guys haven't played Remnant 2 yet, fucking play it. That thing is a heavy contender for Game of the Year, heavy contender, and that's even playing all the games or considering all the games that have released this year. That game is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's I don't know if I would play something like that. You know me. So, Mr. Brian, what have you been playing? If you have been playing anything, I know you've been, you know, prepping the homestead.
I've actually been, well, not playing much, but a few things here and there. Mostly got the platinum for Shadow of War, so that's now off the list.
Nice.
It's a fairly okay platinum to get. It's not too difficult. It's just more tiresome because lots of repeating stuff. But again, if you enjoy the loop, then it's. It's all right.
I feel like the first one was a little like that too. Like Shadow of Mordor wasn't like a absurdly difficult platinum to get.
No, I think I was close to getting all the achievements on Steam, but I think there was one. It was something like you need to free 5 prisoners within like 30 seconds while riding on a cargo, and I just couldn't do it. So I was like, yeah, I'm done. But then I seen stuff for the sequel. And it seemed more manageable. Like, there's not many, oh, complete all the challenges nonsense with 3 stars. So I was like, okay, this seems all right. I don't have to keep bash my head against a brick wall for that. So yeah, definitely worth having a go again if you missed it the first time around or you really hated microtransactions because, again, they've all been patched out, so there's none of that. It is how the game was meant to be, I guess. And then from there, again, like with Brett's, I've just been doing Starfield's mostly the main missions, just going through that now since I've done a lot of side content and I'm way over leveled. So that's pretty funny. And I guess to answer Brett's question of like when do you stop? What I've noticed is the best time to stop is just as you get off the high of the peak moments. Like, you know, like you'll be playing a game and then like you feel like, okay, I've like you reach the point where you're having like maximum satisfaction. And then the second that it dips down, that's when you stop. Because I noticed that if you keep going after that, it's very difficult to get that satisfaction back up again. So hence you're constantly just fighting. You're fighting yourself and you're fighting the game, trying to relive that high, and it just won't happen. So what I do is I just stop, and then I play something else for 2-3 days, and then jump back to it. Because then I feel refreshed, I feel cleansed, if you wish, so that now I can relive that fun and then get to that high again and then jump off again. And that's kind of how I do things.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Just see how it works for you. And that's why I'm always playing two games at once, just so that I can go up and down. Again, with going back to Shadow of War, there was a time when I just got really bored because I think I had done 3 siege missions in like a row, and basically just going to a fort, capturing points and killing captains, roughly, I think like 12 captains, 10, 12 captains each siege. So that's like almost 30 captains in like 2 hours. And that's just really boring, because then it's like, oh, this one has this immunity, this one has that strength, and it's just like, it's, you just find yourself playing on autopilot. So I was like, okay, I need to play something else. And then that's when I'm like, okay, switch to the Steam Deck. And then I played Tales of Arise for like an hour or so. Again, very different, very fresh, and then just carried it with that on for a bit, and then switched. So that's how I do things. I literally just try not to get too far into one game to the point where I just get bored of it, and then just like context switch so that it's constantly something that's not boring me and I don't feel like the game's getting dull.
Do you like I've always found, like, I don't always do two games, but I always do sort of, you know, like if I do it, it's usually the other game is sort of more of a short burst type of game where it, like, you don't mm-hmm. need a lot of plot to jump back into, like,
yeah.
Like I feel like if I were playing two games together, if I were doing anything, like, I'd like play Spider-Man and then I'd play, like, you know, maybe like a RPG, just like two different mm-hmm. sort of sides, or like this instant satisfaction to Spider-Man and then, you know, the more deeper stuff that if I want to play that sort of thing.
Yeah. This is why I think racing games are really good for that. So stuff like Forza Horizon is perfect. Yeah, like, again, it has kind of no stories.
Instant, yeah, like an instant satisfaction. Yeah. One of those games that if you play it at 1 a.m. at night, you won't be up until 4 in the morning.
Exactly. You know, Baldur's Gate Street Fighter would be a good combination for that.
Yeah, I would say like a fighting game, like a instant get in and out, or maybe, yeah, or I always like playing beat-em-ups. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what I even go one step further, so if I feel like games have gone to a point where it's like, okay, I don't really want to interact anymore, then stick on some films, stick on some anime. Like recently, I watched Jujutsu Kaisen Zero.
Mm.
It's actually really good. And I say that because I really didn't like the first season. I don't know why. I don't know whether it was everyone was just hyping it up or I didn't like the characters. But then I seen Zero, and it's like, okay, it's actually pretty good. And then I seen like the first couple of episodes of season 2, and it's like, okay, maybe it's worth giving it another go again and see how it feels. But even that's like the same idea. It's like you context switch from something else. So you're like, okay, you're playing games and then watch a film, or playing games, watch an anime, you know. You kind of don't burn yourself out, because I noticed that I can easily burn myself out of games so easily. Mm-hmm. I actually burnt myself out of God of War 3, funny enough, because I tried to like
you do the
whole
platinum,
game in one
right?
sitting.
You tried to do the platinum run, right?
Oh no, the plat was fine. It was playing through the game in one sitting because I thought, oh, I like this game, you know, I'm playing in one sitting. Nope, do not do that. It's bad. You just kind of get really annoyed at everything towards the end. So yeah, I've just learned, like, okay, if I feel myself starting to kind of burn out or get off that high, then mm-hmm. just switch. You know, again, the game will be there. game's not going anywhere. My save data is there. So, mm-hmm. You know, just do what I've got to do. Feel like the time is right to jump off. Jump off something else. Watch it, and then come back to it.
So, last but not least, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., is there anything that you can talk about that you're playing? Well, I mean, I guess you're playing Alan Wake. You can't actually talk about that one.
All right, so, yeah. Well, first and foremost, let's get to one of the controversial games that I did finish, and I actually got the platinum for Spider-Man 2. So,
controversial statements.
I know there were... Yeah, I know there was a lot of comments made about Spider-Man 2. I understand the criticisms, but I will say I'm glad I got the platinum, so I don't have to continue playing. Right now, I have also been playing Ghost Runner 2. This game, I'm enjoying the hell out of this game, but man, this is a very good learning curve for me because, you know, you're playing through these levels trying not to get killed. You know, you get hit one time in that game, that's it. You have to restart wherever you're at in the actual stage. But it's a lot of fun. You know, I'm getting better. I think I'm making progress in the campaign. So that'll probably be the next game that I do a review for. And as you mentioned, yes, I do have Alan Wake 2. I haven't started playing it yet, but looking forward to it for sure. That's pretty much it. There's nothing else I have been playing that I can't really talk about. I'm definitely having a lot of fun.
I mean, I heard that Ghost Runner game is very sort of conducive to like speed runs, right? Where you can like jump off the wall, you got to chop some guy, and then you know.
Oh yeah, you know, like the minute you get hit, like if you do any wrong move, that's it, you're dead. Then you have to restart wherever it is that you were in that level. It does help you get better as you go along. But I like that. It is rewarding in a sense when you finally complete a level and, you know, after you've died multiple times, it's like, oh, this is great. Now I can progress in the story. So, but it's a lot of fun, but I don't know if it's a game that everybody would want to play. Mm. If they enjoyed the first game, then they will definitely like the second one. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's sort of like 3D Super Meat Boy, I guess, right? He's just jumping off the wall. Yeah.
Jump off the walls, and now you have a motorcycle that you're able to drive as well when you actually acquire it. That actually is fun, but it's the same thing, you know, the same philosophy of jumping off the walls and the traversal and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. So yeah, that seems like it's the end of the episode. I want to thank Richard Bailey Jr. for joining us for another one of these episodes. I don't know when Tony will be back, but you know, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You know, you helped us out a lot with the show, for, you know, so many times and stuff. So it's all good to go. So, do we have anything to plug? I'm Negan. What's going on?
Yes, Carlos. Let's give them the information, Carlos.
Carlos, before you pass out from fooditis.
Yeah, I Am Negan is a Walking Dead podcast that Adam Vale, Richard Bailey Jr., and myself are a part of, where we talk all things the Walking Dead universe. That's the Daryl Dixon show, that's Dead City, that's Fear the Walking Dead, and that's the future Rick and Michonne show. I forgot the title for that one. That's coming out next year. But yeah, but right now we're talking about Fear the Walking Dead, the final season, or the final half of the season, because we're more than halfway there, but it should end in a month, and this weekend we're going to be talking about episode 2 of this final installment, and we have, you know, we don't have the best thoughts of it so far. Hopefully it gets better, but yeah.
let me just say this, our discussion was way better than that last episode. That last episode of Fear the Walking Dead was heart garbage, but yes, please listen to the podcast, because I think we had a much better discussion than what we actually saw on the show.
Most definitely. So your conversation is more entertaining than that actual show was.
Yes, 100%. 100% yes.
Which is why,
so that's fear.
Which is why you need to listen to I Am Negan.
Yes, please stay tuned on to I Am Negan. It's on the Coalition. thecoalition.com, the coalition on YouTube. That's the coalition with a K. I am Negan.
Yeah, there you go. I don't got anything to announce. So yeah, guys, there, as I remember somebody in the chat mentioning about the Xbox financials, for, you know, for the Thursday show, just throw a little question in there and we can see what we can do about looking at those numbers. So I was your host, Emilio Lopez, and I was joined by Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brian Manjoma.
Larry Peoples.
And RBJ himself, Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys. See you later.